All right. I'm just going to be talking very quickly about vessels that honors God. And we're reading from 2 Timothy. I should be able to read from here better. 2 Timothy 2:19-21. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use, and prepared for every good work." Now, there's a foundation, and that's the first thing we look at. We will just quickly look at those three scriptures, and then we pray. It says the foundation, there's a foundation, and that foundation stands sure. God's foundation for vessels of honor that he can use at any point in time is fixed and unbendable. It stands sure, no matter what anybody says, it does not matter. The devil can have his own standards, men can have their own standards, people have, but there's a foundation for God's vessels of honor. And God will not change his standard, not because of anybody. Some people think, well, because God is a merciful God, well, he will give the standard to the poor, he will bring it a bit lower, and then the illiterate and different kinds of people. No, whether you're too young or too old and I should be pitied, or too rich and I should be privileged, it does not happen. It's one standard. And that's why God will be able to judge the world, because the standards are not different. It's the same standard. And God's foundation will not bend, honestly. And I keep telling myself every time, it will not bend for me. It is me that should bend for the standards of God. And the imagery that I look at here is, you see, a trainer that wants to train a high jumper, you know, he loves to try and challenge that high jumper to jump higher. Is that not so? If all he does all the time is when he fails to jump high, he said, okay, let's bring it down lower for you so that you can jump, that person will never be a champion in his life. But all he does is to press, and that's what grace does. You will see later as I come to grace, that grace is a teacher. All he does is to encourage us. It's an encouragement that, look, even though we are where we are, let's jump higher. There's a saying that Graham always comes up with, and I love that saying. I am not where I used to be. Please, can you tell us? Okay, but I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I want to be. But actually, I am moving forward. There's always a journey. Every day in our lives must see us moving forward. And that's what grace does, to encourage us to new heights, to encourage us to get further and further to where God wants us to be. Now, sorry, what happened to me? Okay. Ah, yeah. Okay. So since God's foundation will not bend for any man, it is me that should bend to God's standard. And the God's standard is very clear. Luke 9:23. He says, he said to them all, not to some. And he said, if any man, you see, God has a way of reducing all to any. All seems to be, well, it's for everybody, so I can decide not to be as sharp as I need to be, or to go the way God wants me to go. But immediately God says all, and it comes down to any. Any means me. All can mean everybody, but when he now brings it down to any man, it means me. He said, if any man will come after me, he must, one, deny himself, and then take up his cross daily and follow me. To be able to break that down, it will take us about an hour. But honestly, there's a self that doesn't want us to go higher than where we are. And we can excuse where we are at and all that, but God is saying, no, deny self. Tell self, you cannot keep me where I am. I need to ride higher, even with God. Then there's a cross to pick. To be able to say, sorry, the world behind me, but the cross is ahead of me. I'm on a journey. I may not be where I need to be, but I need to keep going higher. And then finally, to keep following Jesus. Because at the end of the lane is our Lord and Master waiting for us. The issue, it says again that, look, there's a seal. This God's foundation has a seal. And that foundation, he said, is sure. But the seal is a perfect ongoing knowledge that God knows his own and will never make a mistake about that. Honestly, he knows his own. The Bible says his eyes are ranging all over the earth's surface, looking to make himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart are right towards him. And that gives me confidence that, look, I am straight in God's sight line every time. You see, to some people, it becomes a problem because they feel, what if this thing I'm doing is against God and all that? No, it gives me confidence because I know that, look, where I am, if God can see me, then I'm covered, I'm protected. That's what comes to my psyche every time I think of God, because Psalm 139 tells me that there's no hiding place from God. I can't hide anywhere. Even if I go to hell, he said he's seeing me there. If I go to the highest heaven, his eyes are there. Where can I hide from his presence? That doesn't give me dread. Do you know what it does to me? It makes me to realize that, look, I am covered. The devil can range and do everything anywhere, but wherever I am found, because the eyes of the one who keeps me, grace will always be there to keep me and to make me who God wants me to be. Look at what grace does for us. He says he knows my name and reveals his name to them, to me, to all of us, for us not only to go by. You see, many people, all they want from the name of Jesus is a label. I'm a Christian. Don't you see it written on my chest? Christian. That's not the only thing. It's a lot more than that. It's not just a label to go by, but it's my existence. The Bible says, in that name, that's where he has baptized me into. I am in Christ. It's my existence, number one. Number two, that name is an open check. It says, just pray in my name, it's done. It's an open check for you and me. And number three is a protection. The Bible says the name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they are saved. So the Lord knowing you is a great plus, not a minus. Never a minus. He knows his own, and his own must understand that he knows them. Now, the next one, he says, if he knows me and knows my name, he says, let everyone that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. His name will always do what he's supposed to do. You see, when I begin to think about depart from iniquity, do you know what I think about? Imagine somebody leaves Nigeria. Nigeria is just like, in fact, a bit worse than this. Hot. You're always looking for water to cool down. You understand? Right now, they said Nigeria is very hot. Imagine you are coming from a desert country. And then you land into, and you are wearing the kind of clothes you wear in Nigeria. You board the plane right in the middle of that kind of place. Wear the kind of dresses you wear in Nigeria, and you come to the UK and land at Heathrow in, in the middle of winter with snow all over the place. And all the baggage you have packed, their clothes for Nigeria. What do you think the problem will be? Thank you very much. That's just exactly the thing. Nobody needs, in fact, the air hostesses will not, they don't need to tell you. The moment you come out of the door like this of the aircraft, you will run back inside because you have packed the wrong dress. You have departed quite all right because you are not in the location where you are, but the baggage you are carrying is not fit for the place where you are. And that's the way it is, even for the Christian household. Many times we depart from Egypt. We depart from what? We depart from slavery to sin. And then we land into the kingdom, a new and entirely different environment. But we love our, so many times we love our baggage of the past that we don't want to change them. The man who wants to live in the UK with the baggage from Nigeria, the next thing, like you said, ma, is to rush to the shops and change what? Ah, he has to change his baggage. And any person who comes into the kingdom, the first thing he needs to keep thinking about is that I need to change my baggage, my load. The load that I am, the clothes that I used to wear and the things I used to use there, it will not work in this new kingdom. But like we said, it's not a one-blow thing. He may not have all the money to buy all the clothes that he needs. What does he do? He buys some and he keeps some. And gradually he begins to do what? The clothes from Nigeria will begin to reduce in his bag. And then the clothes for the UK will begin to increase. And that's the issue. Grace helps us to gradually continue to climb that height until we get to where God wants us to be. So, iniquity is always the only thing that keeps us back in the old country where we are coming from, even though we are in a new country, and does not make the name of Jesus to really be potent in our mouths. Many people are afraid to pray and to do. Like, I was so taught by the prayer of Ruth. That was fantastic. Some people would not want to pray that kind of prayer. It's because they feel sometimes that God will not hear me. God will not. God can hear Ruth. But when God can hear Dave and all the others. But when I pray, how can God hear me? No, it's not like that. God hears every child of God. And he will answer your prayer, not only for yourself, but for as many as you pray for. Are we together? Amen. Amen. Now, departing from iniquity. Okay, we've got, you see, I'm always ahead. When I can't see my slide, I go ahead of them. I've already talked about this. You need a new wardrobe. And then, now, in verse 20, without C, it says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. You see, every time we look at this scripture, this other scripture, we get it to, many people get it to confuse them. And they think what God is talking about is exactly the same thing he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 13. They are totally two different things. The two of them are addressing. Now, look at the second one. It says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work will be manifest, for the day shall reveal it or declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test all works. This one below is talking about works. The one above is talking about the life of the worker and his calling. What kind of vessel God is looking for to be able to serve in the household of the master. But this one now says that, look, now the foundation is laid. This is the kind of superstructure. This is the kind of work you can place on that one. Now, here, like I said, a man can be a material okay, let me give an example so that it will be clear. I did something with Dave when I woke up this morning. I looked at his kitchen. I said, wow, I don't see too many articles of gold here. He didn't know where I was going. You see, go. No, I was looking for it in the kitchen. Like pots and co. How many people cook with pots made of gold? It's useless. It will melt. And it will even give you poison. For the kitchen, gold is as useless as anything. You can't use it in the kitchen. Are we together? In the kitchen, a wooden vessel, a vessel of pot, earth, is more important than a vessel of gold. Are we together? That's what he's talking about. Any kind of vessel can be a vessel unto honor. In this verse 20. Now, I got to Dave's house. He gave me towels. My wife always packs my towel. But whenever I get to the place and there's a towel, I don't want to now have wet towel inside my luggage. And Dave graciously gave me, in fact, two towels. I had to choose from one from them. So imagine if Dave had given me a golden towel. Or a golden in the toilet, there's a golden toilet roll. Do you know that golden toilet roll is useless in the bathroom? Because it will wound me like any metal will wound me. I will come out of the bathroom bleeding if I used a toilet roll or a what do you call it? No, a towel made of strands of gold. But right inside that toilet, a paper is more worthy of use than gold. Are we together? Cloth is more a useful vessel unto honor than gold. Do you understand the difference I'm trying to paint from this issue? So, a great house cannot be great if all the vessels in the house were golden or silvery. I've given the two examples. What makes a house great is the usefulness of the vessel and the equipment that are in it. If the equipment don't do the work for which you want it, you created it for, it's a useless vessel there. As valuable as gold is, it is useless in the kitchen, it is useless in the bathroom. And many times, most of the things that gold becomes useful for is just for you to see. Maybe they put one in one corner. It cannot do anything other than aesthetics. Are we together? Now, the issue is that even the cloth or the towel that must be used, it must be of the right quality. That's what I just painted. Now, in the kingdom of God too, God is looking for various types of vessels for the kingdom work on earth. And that's why he gives us various gifts. And that's why we cannot envy one another. Grace has distributed it evenly. He knows what he wants every man to operate in, to be able to make the body what he wants it to be. South Court cannot be what it is today if it were not for the different giftings that God has given to different people. There are some people that if you tell them to do what Helmut is doing there or what Ruth is doing there, I mean, it will be, everything will be. And yet, that same person, let that person get into the place. Like accounts. Graham is at, is great with it. But put another person in his place and he doesn't know where to go at all. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So God doesn't give us all the same kind of thing. He gives everybody different graces, but when they come together and everybody does his part, you see a body that is bound together. It's not the much that you give that is the issue. It's the little you can release to the body. And when the little come together, they become a big whole. And then they magnify God within the context of the church. Amen. There's nobody inside this place that is useless. Every man has a grace. Please don't let the devil tell you are useless. You can never ever be useless in the household of God. Whatever God has given you to do, small or big, just do it to the best of your ability. You will find out that it's valued in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men too. Amen. So each is to supply that so that there can be a synergy so that the work of God can go forward. Now, the major issue now is to prepare each of us to become the best material in the role that God has called us. The fact that God has called me to teach does not mean that now I have to be the best in what God is giving me to do. If all I can do is to bring this same message next time I come to this church, what am I doing? And that's why many pastors, honestly, I respect them. Because they have to come up every Sunday with what? New message. Brand new message from God. Many people don't understand that. Even if it's not only Sunday, even coming to meet people at their houses, they have prepared their lives so that they don't speak the wrong word at the right time. So, at every point in time, every man must be the best. I cannot say, well, I have been doing tea this way. If there's a better way to do the coffee and to put one, I saw one, somebody make a coffee and was asking, do you want this? And I waited and I saw the person do something and the thing, and I said, wow. You see, some people will prepare you coffee, you will be afraid to drink it because you will lose the heart shape or whatever is there. You will almost be looking at it and saying, wow. The aesthetic value they bring it to it makes the coffee to be more than a coffee. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I want to deliver what God wants me to deliver in a way that by God's grace, it will be better than whatever I have done last week. I want to serve the people of God at a higher level every time I meet them. The Lord will give us grace to do that. Amen. Amen. Now, what prepares a man for that is this issue of holiness. I think we can jump from this because our time is already gone. I need to stop now. But let me just jump to the issue of grace. Sorry about hope. Yeah, it's all right. But let me, I think I have omitted, it's still down. But let me just explain what I mean. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says grace is a teacher. Can somebody quickly read it for us? Is there anybody who have that scripture? Very quickly. I will just explain it and then we pray. Please, go ahead. The grace of God that brings salvation, that was where we started about in the morning, has appeared to all men. Then what does that grace of God do? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Grace is a trainer. It's your personal trainer. It's your personal teacher. It teaches to say no to ungodliness and worldliness. Then to say yes to what? Verse 13. And so you say no to ungodliness and lust. And then you say yes consistently. And that's what makes the difference between a vessel of honor and a vessel that is not of honor. My ability to be able to say yes to verse 12 again, man. Sorry, verse 12. To say no to verse 12. Yes. Thank you. Exactly. To say no to ungodliness and worldly life. And that's what keeps us being primed for God's work at a higher level in the kingdom of God. Shall we pray together? I want us to just thank God individually. Just thank God for bringing you into the kingdom and for the grace he has put upon you. I want you to ask God that, Lord, the grace that you have placed upon my life, I want it to operate at a higher level for this church and for people around my life so that the light of Christ can shine brighter wherever I find myself.